this, that, don't touch the doorknobs.
Ladies and gentlemen, he is the sage of Tampa Bay sports, the custodian of Canton himself, the king of Newport Richey, Uncle Ira, the Baron of Big Storm Beer, and Mr. Bill Curry Ford, all rolled up into one man who has covered the NFL for 57 years. He's Ira Kaufman, the star of the Ira Kaufman podcast. I'm Steve Isbitz of Joe Bucks Fan. Lee DeKemper of Joe Bucks Fan is here, and we are fired up for episode 2 of this week. Of course, you saw in the headline, we have a special guest, Mike Allstock, coming up later. But Ira, you are the star. How are you, Ira?
A week ago, the word was jubilant, the word of the week. Today, it is sorrowful. Sorrowful. And I'm about to tell a story that might extend this podcast to 3 hours, but I'm going to tell it. And here it goes. We were looking for a handyman. We got a couple of projects around the house. Nothing major. Nothing major. But we need a good handyman. You know me, DeKemper. I can't put a nail in the wall. I can't put a picture up. And this guy that I know from tennis over the years, he manages properties. So I said, hey, you got a handyman? Yeah, I got the right guy. He's very reliable. I deal with him. He never screws up a job, and he can definitely help you. I called the guy up. He came over on Tuesday. I walked him around the house, you know, 5 or 6 things that we needed to be done. He seemed very diligent. The guy was about 75, retired military. And then he happens to mention, I say, hey, what day you want to come back? He says, Thursday. I'll start working on Thursday. He took the list of things. Then he said, hey, you know, your buddy, it's his birthday today. I'm taking him to lunch at 1:30 at Chili's in Tarpon Springs. So he says, you want to come? I said, yeah. So we went out and we had lunch. I, of course, had a Caribbean salad, gentlemen, with a couple of slices of avocado. And this guy ordered the rib platter and soup. I mean, he was going to town. He wouldn't let me pay for anything, unlike Isbitz, wouldn't let me pay. So he picked up the tab. So he says he's coming back Thursday morning. Well, this morning I had a tennis match at Innisbrook with this guy that runs the properties. And I left just about the time that the guy was going to show up, about 10:30. And about 11:30, my phone rings at courtside at Innisbrook. And it's my wife. And she says, the guy hasn't shown up. So I tell the tennis player.
I think I know where you're going.
He goes, uh-oh. He says, I called the guy this morning, and he didn't get back to me. I'm a little worried.
Uh-oh.
So we finished about 12:30. He said, I'm going to go drive past the guy's house. Calls me in about an hour. He says, the guy's truck was outside of the door. The door was locked. Called the cops. 5 cops showed up. They jimmied the lock. They went in. The guy was sitting in his easy chair. He passed. I just met the guy Tuesday. And he was supposed to start working today. I almost feel like I wish I had never met him. If I never met him, it wouldn't have hit me this hard. I mean, that was a shocker. I guess you could say that he went immediately and without pain. You could say that. And what a beautiful way to start our podcast, right? Right, Isbitz?
Well,
beautiful.
Steve, should you and I worry? Because first it's the dog, the owner of the dog. That raised the puppies.
You know, you're right, Lee. You're right.
And now we got the head. I think your days are done with us.
And these things happen in threes, Isbitz, in threes.
What are you trying to say, Ira?
Yeah. You know, Lee, that was outstanding that you remembered about the woman that was bringing up Cosmo in Plant City.
That's the first thing I thought about was
Mary.
No,
I'm not going to sleep tonight.
Mary. That was her name,
Mary,
right?
Yeah, Mary. Mary. She fell and broke her hip, never got out of the hospital. Who has stories like I do, gentlemen? Who?
Well,
and this was a terrible story. I really feel bad.
What do you feel bad about? You got to find another handyman, or you get dinner with the guy?
Nah, come on, Lee, you're better than that. Come on.
Well, Ira, that's what I was wondering too. Because when Mary, the dog breeder, passed away, you were like, "Oh, that's terrible. Where's my dog? Where's my money?"
I did say that, Steve. I did.
Well, you put a deposit down.
I'm not going to walk away from that, Isbitz. That was my reaction. How's the dog? Today, you know, just meeting the guy on Tuesday and going to lunch, you know, the lunch put it over the top. And we were having a great conversation. His first wife lives in Hawaii. Spent a lot of time in Hawaii telling us stories. And Lee, you know this for a fact. The only saving grace, if there is one, is a lot of times in these cases when people live alone, that they're not found for a week. You know that.
Maybe more, yeah. You're right.
Well, I don't know, Ira. If you die, you die, you know, as far as saving grace. But that stinks, Ira. You really know how to start the mood of a podcast. But we will be undaunted here as we forge ahead. So it's rough. I hope you guys deal with that and get your fence fixed and whatever else is going on.
This is what happens, you know, when you live to be 103, like me. These things happen.
The moral of the story is hire a 29-year-old handyman. All right.
You may continue, Steve.
Sage, the podcast is presented by Bill Curry Ford. And, of course, not only are they proud endorsers of all of your work, Ira, but they have a partnership longstanding with Mike Allstott. And we'll hear a little bit about that later. But if you want to buy a vehicle, an F-150 like Allstott drives, or a car, or whatever you want, Bill Curry Ford is the place to go. Even if you want a cherry red Ford Escape 2020, just like you, Ira, the Great American Recovery is on at Bill Curry Ford. All the 0% financing offers and the $1,000 extra cash back. You can learn about that at BillCurryFord.com. I got to tell you, Ira, in Bill Curry Ford, they have the cafe now, right? Big Storm Cafe. Now, I don't eat much beef. And when I was there with Allstott, I was feeling a little manly, you know, feeling like I had to, you know, step up to the plate a little bit. And I hadn't had any beef probably all year. And I ordered a Reuben. And it was fantastic. Your signature sandwich, unbelievable. Big Storm Reuben, unbelievable.
Is there any movement to name it the Ira Kaufman Reuben, Steve? And anything going on there?
Nothing yet, Ira. But, of course, Big Storm is Florida's finest craft beer, and you can get Big Storm at all kinds of fine locations all over the state and in many other states. Go to BigStormBrewery.com, click on the Storm Tracker. You can find where they sell all the great beers near you. And, of course, the Big Storm Tap Rooms, the huge flagship location, 49th Street in Clearwater, just south of Ulmerton, and the really great Pasco location, which is on Success Drive in Newport Richey, right off 54. Great place to hang out, great menu, and those are places you want to go to. And Sage, we can talk more about your dates that are coming up to watch Bucks games with fans there at Big Storm. But Ira, I wanted to get to you right away because this is huge. This involves money and fans' money specifically. The NFL is talking about cutting down to 2 preseason games, actively talking with the players' union to trim this season down 2 preseason games, which would give the teams more time in training camp. And I read out of Seattle that the way the NFL is thinking of doing this is by making the first 2 weeks of training camp basically just like OTAs, no pads, where it would give teams a little more time to ease into pads because they found after the 2011 lockout that there were more soft tissue injuries, and to give an ease-in period, and then the teams would get into pads and build up to their first preseason game, which would really be the 3rd preseason game. They're still figuring it out. And, of course, some of the speculation is that the league also wants more time to figure out all the game day protocols because of coronavirus. Your thoughts, Ira?
Well, as long as it's a league-wide edict, I don't see a competitive disadvantage to waiting to put the pads on as long as everybody's following that. As far as cutting from 4 to 2 in preseason, Lee, this was a far-gone conclusion. You didn't need to be a detective to figure out this is the way that the league was heading. Goodell's been talking about it forever. He doesn't like the quality of exhibition games. Who does? What you didn't mention, Steve, is whether season ticket prices are going to go down because now you got 18 games instead of 20. And, of course, Lee, it's the prelude to expanding the regular season to 17 or 18 games. That's another thing that they're on track for. They have to be negotiated, but certainly the league is heading towards that direction. I don't think Mr. DeKemper and I are going to cry over missing 2 preseason games. You know, it's going to hurt the guys on the bubble those last 15 or 20 guys that, you know, play extensively in the fourth week of the preseason and try to put something on tape, if not for their team, other teams. You know, it's a reduced schedule. I mean, Brady's got to get his snaps in. Carlton Davis has to get his snaps in two games instead of four. So that leaves less time to impress for other guys. So, Lee, you're not raging against the missing of two preseason games, I gather.
Golf clap. It should be four games they should get rid of, not just two. It's a golf clap. If they get rid of all four, I will applaud, standing applause, standing O, but golf clap right now. Preseason games, I mean, when you see coaches more and more, Bruce Arians obviously is one of them, come flat out and say the joint practices with other teams they get more out of than a game. To me, that's basically them signaling, would you get rid of these dumb preseason games? The NFL is the only level of football, I guess Florida high school, you know, they have these jamborees, which is like two or three quarters. But in general, the NFL is the only level of football that has exhibition games. I mean, I don't know any college football fan who was watching the first week of college, and granted, the first games are a little bit sketchy. I get that. Not always, but sometimes. But I've yet to meet one college football fan. The Labor Day weekend on a Saturday, the beer's cold, and they have two brand names going against each other saying, damn, I wish there was two practice games during August. No, I don't hear that at all. And if high school can get away with it, if college can get away with it, you ought to be able to get away with it in the pros. So just have the split practices. If that's what it, now, I thought they had 17 games approved. But if that's what it takes to get 18 games, see you later, NFL preseason. Good riddance. And Ira, I'm like you. I'm getting to be old. Well, yeah, we're both getting to be old. I remember when they had six preseason games. And yes. it seemed like training camp never ended.
You know, along those lines, I think baseball's crazy. 30 exhibition games? 30 grapefruit games? I mean, what the heck's going on here? They're in camp 2 or 3 weeks before the first exhibition game. And now 30 games on top of it? That's a scam, Nisbets.
Actually, I don't think it is for this reason. We're jaded because we live in Florida. First off, baseball is like a treasured thing because it's like a harbinger of spring. It's like, oh my gosh, I'm scraping my windshield, it's 10 degrees, but in a few weeks, it's going to be baseball, it's going to be spring, I'll get rid of the coat. And people, you know, really, really look forward to that, not even factoring in the people that will come down here for a few days, a week maybe, to enjoy spring training. No other sport has that. It's basically a Chamber of Commerce thing. It's very good for baseball. So I know where you're coming from. 30 games, what are you doing? All the chatter. It's like an extra month of hot stove league.
It works for Florida and Arizona. There's no question about it, Lee.
I mean, I remember the days when I was living up north. Once the Super Bowl was over with, I mean, I just couldn't wait for baseball season. Part of that reason was no more coats. I hated winter so much, and I remember one time I had a talk with an editor one time. This is back one of my first jobs, and he had spent some time in Florida, and he worked in the South, and he had told me, you know, I always poo-pooed the Daytona 500. Oh, it's no big deal. It's only racing fans care. And he's like, whoa, whoa, whoa. He was down South. That's a harbinger of spring. He goes, that's what baseball is to Southerners, because the Daytona 500 is the harbinger of spring. Here we go, winter's over with. And I never thought of it that way, but I thought he made a good point then. I think he makes a good point now. I see what you're saying. It's ridiculous, 30 games. But if you look at the big picture, it's actually pretty smart.
Goodell got his way, right, Steve? Goodell got his way, as he usually does.
I don't know. I'm completely crestfallen. I love preseason football. Why would I want to watch anything else when I can watch the starters roll out there for four or five series and get the speculation juices going and get my first look at some guys? And I'm devastated.
It puts a tremendous premium on busting your ass in training camp. You better have a good camp.
I think you're going to have more joint practices to, you know, for the people like, you know, like Steve and others, although from a team's coaching perspective, they're going to add more joint practices to make up for those games lost. You know, and you guys make valid points. especially Ira, you know, the bubble guys, you only get to see them go against each other, and that gets old mentally. That just gets old for those guys. So I think you'll have more joint practices to make up for it. And frankly, I think the coaches and players agree. After 2 or 3 weeks of pounding on each other, they love those joint practices. It's something different, something to break up the monotony.
You know, Steve, I want you to know this, Stephen. You know, and I love you like a brother, but tonight when this podcast is over, in about 4 hours, after it's over, I am going to my Merriam-Webster dictionary. And when I turn to the words that start with the letter C, I'm going to go to contrarian, and I will see a picture of Steve Isbitz. Steve Isbitz.
Ira, I'm dead serious. I love the preseason. I don't know why anybody wouldn't. I mean, you got no. If you like football and you've been without football for 6, 7, 8 months, when they roll out the preseason games, it's after 6 months from February. I just think it's great. It's fun. A Hall of Fame game. I'm tuned in along with millions of other people. Ira,
Steve, you have a Jones for Ryan Griffin. You have a Jones for this man.
It's football.
You can't wait for Blaine Gabbert. Come on, Steve.
We pay attention to the draft. I want to see what these clowns look like, even if it's against future cell phone managers and things like that.
Lee, he wants to see if the human joystick can catch a pass from Tom Brady. That's what he's going to look.
I just thought of this, and I don't. I may be spitballing here, and it may be ridiculous, but you made a point, Ira, and you kind of reinforced it just now. You know, Steve wants to see the third stringers. And you also made a point that the rookies, they're not going to get any. It puts a premium on training camp. Could you see a thing, they have games for just rookies? Would there be enough chattel out there, for lack of a better term, to have a rookie game?
That's interesting. I mean, you know, the fourth exhibition game was basically that, in effect. So, Steve, I'm sorry you're cutting down from 4 to 2. You're going to be deprived, my friend.
I'll deal with it. And you know what? There'd be no Ernest Graham if there wasn't for preseason football and so many stories. Adam Humphries making the team after a good game 4 and all that fun stuff. I will say this, Ira, to close this topic. Spring training, that's a whole organizational thing. I mean, football's football. But it's just the team. But in baseball, they've got all the minor leaguers, the top minor leaguers out there, and it's understood that you're sort of working your organization, not just the big club. So it's a little different. A little different.
Okay.
All right, Sage. Now, I'm sad, Ira. I'm sad. All right, enough of that. Ira, Mike Lombardi, who was a consultant for Bill Belichick from 2014 to 2016, in addition to his past history with a lot of other big names and working at as a GM. Imagine it's the year 2014. I don't like Lombardi too much, but I respect him. Imagine it's the year 2014 and Bill Belichick, who's at the top of the game, calls you to hire you to just be a consultant. I mean, that's when you know that you got some respect in the league. But Mike Lombardi wrote a piece for The Athletic talking about how Brady's teammates have no idea what they're in for because now they're the hunted. And Tom Brady's lived that for the last 15, 17, 18 years, that every time any team, every snap plays the Patriots, they're going all out. You're hunting Brady and Belichick. You're hunting Brady. He said, now the Bucs are in that boat. He said, the whole roster doesn't know anything about what that's like, and it's going to be a slap in the face for the Bucs. What do you say about that?
Well, I'm with you, Steve, on Lombardi. I think he's got a history with the Raiders, too, I believe. And I often disagree with him. He seems to write about the Bucs an awful lot. He seems to be intrigued by the Bucs. Even in past years, he's touched on them quite a bit. This time, I think his point is fairly well taken. Other than Brady and Gronkowski, there ain't too much playoff pedigree in that locker room, gentlemen. You know, JPP's played in some big games, and Sue's been in the playoffs. But for the most part, you know, you got the Levante Davids of the world that are still waiting for a taste of January football. And it's the flip side, Lee, it's the flip side of hype. Hype's great from a business perspective. Hype's great for selling tickets and merchandise and maybe suite sales. But, Lee, now nobody took the Bucs seriously. They didn't earn that. over the last 12 years. I looked at the Bucks on the schedule and, we're going to knock these guys off. And probably went in, without a supreme degree of determination, which is going to change markedly in 2020. That doesn't mean the Bucks can't handle it. Brady, is the ringmaster. And if he detects any shortage of diligence and enthusiasm and attention to detail at this stage in his career, Lee, he's not going to be nice. He's not going to err on the side of gentility. And I don't blame him. He's got 2 years to add another ring to his fingers, and that's what he wants. He will brook no nonsense in that locker room. But, Lee, this is going to be a giant awakening for most of these players.
In the span of 30 seconds, you just hit us with some good vernacular there, some good words. Brook no nonsense. I got to. I don't think I've heard Brook used as a verb, and he used another word that I forgot. I was going to ask you about
gentility. Gentility over there. Gentility.
I don't think we've heard that word on this podcast. Gentility.
I think I use it often describing Steve a little bit.
What, it's got varying ways they need to be gentility. Yeah,
what about these guys, including Levante David, including Shaq Barrett, Ali Marpet, Alex Kappa? They've never been in a situation like this, Lee, and we're not quite sure how they're going to handle it.
You started to go down a road, I was all fired up to talk about, and then I decided, no, I'm not, because I don't want to ruin the podcast. You're getting me worked up here. I might have to go on a rant. I'm so sick of talking about football spirituality, the leaders and all that. And whenever I hear that word, Dan Silva's voice is going through my mind. First, we had Josh Freeman. Oh, he was a leader and he worked hard. That was a con job by the Bucks. And then Gerald McCoy. Oh, he's such a leader. He led the Bucks to loss after loss after loss.
And then you had Jameis. And then you had Jameis.
Jameis comes in, and he's so inspirational, and he inspires even front office people. He was so inspirational, they ran him out of town. And Lonte David, his favorite subject is mindset. Oh, we got a little mindset here. Just freaking produce. Produce and wins the freaking games. Come on, man. I've been hearing this crap for 12 years. Enough with the football spirituality. Production and wins, that's all I give a damn about. I don't want to hear about your mindset. I want to hear if you could lead a guy to the freaking John after 6 years. I don't want to hear it anymore. Enough.
Steve, once a month, Lee gets his dander up. And for the listeners, Lee's got a lot of dander. not dandruff, dander. And once a month, a couple of months ago, he had a classic against me, basically, and I think it was something about Winston. I can't even remember, but this was a good one. This was a good one, DeKemper. It was a good one.
Enough with this mindset, leader, inspirational BS. Just go produce and win games.
Steve, right, a couple things there. First, Shaq Barrett's got a Super Bowl ring, so he's played in some big games. He's the one guy who actually probably understands. Yeah. But the other ones, I do think that a lot of guys are going to might be in for a little bit of a rude awakening for the whole intensity that's coming their way. It's going to be at a different level. And although it may be dialed back quite a bit with no or less fans in the stands, so who knows? But I will say this.
You guys remember the intensity the Bucks brought when they would play the Patriots the past decade? Well, that was a real intensity there.
And they got their butts whipped.
Hats handed to them. Yeah. That's so right. Produce, block, tackle, run,
now,
catch.
Ira, you brought up dander, and a lot of times when you have dander, you could have some allergies, and a lot of people have allergies with mold, Ira, and mold is very serious business in the state of Florida, Ira. Very serious business. You know what? If you see a little water in your house, you don't just blow it off. You don't just wipe it up if it's not where it should be. you know, you could have water damage, and the best thing to do is to immediately call Florida's Elite Restoration or go to their website, floridaseliterestoration.com, maybe get a little bit more information, and you give them a call 24/7. It's free. They will come out, and they will assess. They can use their thermal imaging cameras and figure out if mold's growing behind that leaky garbage disposal that you replaced last week, but it's still a little damp back there. It's a covered loss by insurance. It's important. I don't want to see people losing out on insurance money and fixes to their home when they don't have to. That's why you got to call your buddy Josh, Ira, at Florida's Elite Restoration.
Lee, did Isbitz just go from the word dander to mold inspection, Lee?
Yeah, that was a nice segue, wasn't it?
Unbelievable, Steve. Unbelievable.
Well, you know, you get an air filter, you look at it, it'll say it'll filter out mold spores and dander. It's all connected, Ira. But in all seriousness, one of our new sponsors, Florida's Elite Restoration, fantastic company. Plumbers refer them all the time. They've got state-of-the-art equipment. They have a mold remediation license. It's not just some company that you call where they say, yeah, we do mold and we vacuum too and we'll do your dishes. No, these are mold certified specialists. Florida's EliteRestoration.com, just the way it sounds. Check them out. Give them a call 24/7. They'll come out no cost, bottom line, and you won't make a big and unfortunately costly mistake. All right, Ira, now look, I got to throw this past you because this is one of the great quotes of all time. One of the great quotes of all time, and I need your sage wisdom.
Which one? It's all about a race to 10? That one? Race to 10? not that one?
No, that was one of the best Bucks quotes of all time, 2010. Raheem Morris with an assist to Joe Maddon. You know, Joe Maddon kind of wrote that. I don't know if you know that whole story. But anyway, here we go.
Wait a minute. You can't tell the story without getting me involved. I was part of it.
Tell us the story, and then I'll give you this quote that's unbelievable.
All right. I'm sitting in the front row. I believe it was during training camp, and you know, Raheem says it's all about a race to 10. My people tell me if you get the 10 wins, you'll make the playoffs. Of course, the irony was they went 10-6 and didn't make the playoffs in that year, but Freeman had a heck of a season. So anyway, Morris is, you know, he's just raging on about race to 10, race to 10. I'm sitting there. I raise my hand. What's up, Ira? Coach, does that include the preseason? Does that include the preseason? He gave me a look. Everybody started laughing. I got a chuckle out of Morris. He knew it was a good line. I did it with the timing of a Buddy Hackett. It was a hell of a line.
Oh.
And I might be dating myself. Who's Buddy Hackett? Wow. What are you talking about? One of the all-time great comedians. Anyway, Steve, what do you want to say about this race to 10?
Well, I don't want to say anything about that. I want to give you this quote, Ira. Here it is. Quote, and I know, day in and day out, without publicly coming in and saying it, that historically, I'm one of the best quarterbacks to play the game. That's Jameis Winston this month, talking to Bleacher Report for a feature story. Jameis believes he's one of the best quarterbacks to play the game. Your thoughts, Ira?
Well, first props to Bleacher Report, Lee. Got to give them their due. Got a lot out of Jameis in that interview. Not quite sure how he got him, but they got him. And so give them their credit, give them their due. It's been widely picked up, as it should be. And as far as that classic quote that Steve just mentioned, the first thing that comes to mind, and I'm sorry to say it, I don't take any pleasure in saying it, he still doesn't get it. He still doesn't get it. You're not one of the best quarterbacks in football. You're number 15, if you're lucky. And you could be if under duress in your seconds of truth, you make better decisions. You could be, but you're not. And you haven't been during your 5 years. Now, I know Lee's going to come strong with the 5,000 yards, but Lee, even you're not going to say he's one of the best quarterbacks in football.
I took it, and this shows the perception that different people have. I took it as Jameis speaking the truth. I know people are going to freak out. You don't have to listen to me. Just go to Pro Football Reference and look up what quarterbacks have done in his age group. That's all I'm going to say.
You know what you can also look at, Lee? You can look at the contract he just signed as a backup.
He's not lying. You know, he's not lying. Just go to ProFootballReference.com
and look at the quarterback numbers of guys his age group and what they've done. I'm not going to say anything more.
We could, Steve, we could have the stage set for Lee getting his dander up again. I'm not going to push those buttons, Steve. I'm not going to do it.
Well, Ira, you know what happens. If you have dander, you might also have mold.
Uh-oh.
Florida's elite restoration.
You know who to call now.
Steve, you heard my comment. He still doesn't get it. I don't know where you stand on this.
One of the most ridiculous things I've ever heard. Historically, I'm one of the best quarterbacks to play the game. Come on. You know, and it's just silliness. I don't know what's going through the guy's head to say that and then not come out and say, hey, you know, when I said that, I was exaggerating. Don't run with that. I mean, it's just kind of, it's funny.
He's not a bum. He's not a bum. He's not a bust. Lee, I would never say that. He's not a bum, but he's still working on ball protection, which is a huge, huge part of playing the quarterback position, and he's still struggling after 5 years with it. That's a fact.
Yeah, there's no question about that.
It's going to be funny, Ira, or interesting, if he doesn't play this year, right? If Breeze stays healthy, right? Because Teddy Bridgewater only became Teddy Bridgewater because he got five games to start, and he was excellent. If Jameis doesn't play, what happens next year? Who's going to touch him next year? You know, he'll get to compete with somebody at a very low salary. It's going to be really interesting to see it play out.
We still don't know who's behind Sean Payton's door number two in terms of Breeze's successor. I mean, we just don't know. We just don't know his detailed feelings about Taysom Hill. We just don't know it.
And frankly, Ira, we don't know if Drew Brees is really going to retire. It's all speculation, but nothing to say he doesn't feel like playing another year for $25 million.
Lee is suggesting, his cushy TV gig might have dried up, and it's possible.
Well, not yet, but it was on the verge, and I won't go any farther. I think we all know we're talking about it. I think he saved it.
Okay.
Ira, before we get to hear from Mike Allstott, first, of course, Bill Curry Ford presents all your work. BillCurryFord.com is the website to start shopping online. Nationwide lifetime warranty on new and pre-owned vehicles. BillCurryFord.com. Carlton Davis talked to the media the other day. You were on the call. Your reaction, Ira. Your reaction, Carlton Davis.
Well, I was happy because I knew what column I wanted to write about Lavonte David and Devin White, and then it gave me an opportunity to get a juicy quote from Carlton Davis, so I was happy with that. Now, I also asked him about the possible effect of Brady's arrival on the defense, which I don't think has been talked about nearly enough, and I think it's going to be dramatic. You know, not only the momentum maybe that they built in the last six or seven games, but 42 points from pick sixes are not going to go against their defensive record. And they're not going to be on the field 41 times when the offense was on the field. And all of a sudden, the whole thing gets switched dramatically. So I was okay with Carlton Davis. Now, Steve, I thought you were going to ask me, and we're giving out props. And I gave the props to Bleacher Report. And I'm going to give out another prop to one of Lee's favorites. And we said it right here on this podcast. Mr. Kevin O'Donnell, take a bow. Well, as Lee predicted, at my urging, you know, if Brady was going to practice somewhere, again, with the guys, O'Donnell was going to be the sleuth that sussed it out. They must have some money at Fox 13 over there, Lee, to hire a drone. Maybe I'll ask them for more money for the...
I think you can get a drone for like $120, can't you, Steve?
Well, maybe I can ask him for more money for tailgate report. I just think, guys, I just think that Buck fans are absolutely ecstatic that Brady has shown this kind of impetus, this kind of enthusiasm. He ain't coming here to retire. He ain't coming here to sit on Derek Jeter's dock and soak up the sun. He's here to win another championship. You know, we talked, Steve, last week about, hey, what are the Bucks doing? They're not, you know, using Zoom as much. And when you see that drone picture of Brady on a day that I can tell you from experience, it was brutal out there. There's no wind. It's brutal. you know, it might read 88 degrees and the feel like is 103. And that's no joke. And he's out there, doesn't have to be, and you know that he's leading the charge. I mean, this ain't coming from Ronald Jones. I think it's a fantastic thing for Buck fans to savor, and I think it really tells you all you need to know about Brady's intentions. I'm just waiting for the day, Steve, that DeKuemper tries to climb the fence at Berkeley Prep. That's a picture I want to see.
No dice.
All right, Ira. Now
no dice.
All right, Ira. Now we are going to head over to Mike Allstott. Everybody enjoy this interview, and then we'll be right back and get the Sage's feedback. So it's fantastic to take a little break from Ira and to jump into the Bill Curry Ford showroom with a Buccaneers legend and a Ford F-150 driver, Mike Allstott. Mike, it's great to see you. It's great for you to be back on the podcast. And what do you think about this new showroom? You've seen the improvements here at Bill Curry Ford. I saw you eating that sandwich out here from Big Storm Cafe. I think you might be a regular.
Just to come in here, first of all, and eat from Big Storm. What great food, man. I had their signature Reuben and salad. It was excellent. But just seeing everything going on with the new showroom that Bill Curry Ford has and all the new cars, actually, that have come out. And I was surprised, you know, during these this pandemic and everything, but they're still putting out some amazing trucks and cars.
Now, of course, you still have legions of fans out there, and I'll give them a little hint. I won't give them a color, but I did see you roll up in your F-150. What do you think about it? Obviously, you bought it here at Bill Curry Ford. What do you think about becoming an F-150 driver?
Oh, I love it. I have a great relationship with the Curry family for many, many years, and then come on board with them, and you know, getting the F-150 Lariat and driving that. A pickup truck that I always wanted, right? But it's a luxury car, right? It's basically a luxury car, and the amenities that it has in it and all the bells and whistles, you can't get anything better. I love driving it.
Now, Mike, it's June, which means football season's around the corner. Bruce Arians just said July 21st, a little bit earlier. The players are coming back. And, of course, we're going to hear what you think about some of these changes with the Bucs and what's going on in the NFL. But you're a high school football coach.
Yeah.
And I can imagine, only imagine how much great pride you take in that and how hard it was to be away from the players for a while at the school. And what can you tell fans about how you coach and how you approach that job?
Yeah, no, it was difficult. So, again, you know, all this started happening in March, right? And we are in the middle of our, you say winter, but we call it spring around here, right? Winter conditioning. And everything, we were going to start up in April with our spring football, 20 days of practice and play a game, and that got totally wiped out, right? Obviously, everything got wiped out in our world, but you know, when it comes to the high school kids and everything, unfortunately, some of them missed out on a lot of things because of this. But we were fortunate to start up last Monday, June 1, I think it was, right? We were able to start up again and be a part of doing groups of 10, you know, different drills and getting them in the weight room, getting them on the field. And this is going our second week, and I am ecstatic. I am so happy to be a part of these kids. The kids, our attendance is unbelievable. You know what I mean? These kids have missed, you know, so much, you know, for so many months. I think, you know, it's really sunk in that, hey, it's not all fun staying home all the time and being locked up in the house. And now they're out and about and being a part of a team. And I'm really, really excited for what we have to go on this year for Northside Christian. But as in general, for football in general, it's great to hear that the Bucs will be coming back. You know, obviously the NFL, and obviously there's a lot of restrictions and stuff. You know, as time goes on, a lot of these restrictions will hopefully be lifted, and we'll see things going to somewhat a norm when it comes to football.
When you're with the kids, Mike, is it more satisfying than you ever thought it would be? You know, obviously when you're a player, you think, oh, maybe I'll coach one day, but you have a vision of what that's going to be like, and then you get into Northside Christian, you're a high school coach. Is it more satisfying than you ever thought?
Yes, the gratification is so much better, but their nerves are so much better also, more too, though, right? Because when I was playing, I can control the situation, right?
Sure.
You know, I had the mindset, you know, I could think for myself and put myself in different situations and everything. So I controlled everything, right? But when I'm dealing with kids, high school kids from, 14 to 18 years old, there's a lot of emotions riding up and down and, a lot of confusion, but a lot of excitement, but a lot of gratification. And you're seeing kids from freshman year to their senior year grow up and become young adults and be able to continue their dream on to play at the next level. It's just it gives me actually goosebumps as I'm talking about right now, because I've been able to coach a lot of kids for the last 9 years and do this. So it's I love coaching on the football field, and I love being out there. We do it now in the mornings, and it's I enjoy it. I wake up, I'm energized, I'm ready to go, and let's go.
And I know it's really an extension of all the things you do in the community through your foundation. And at Bill Curry Ford here, they're extraordinarily committed to the community, family-owned dealership for 60 years. And what can you say about your experiences with the Curry family and Bill Curry Ford and what you've seen them do yourself in the community and how charitable they are?
I think a lot of the times, I've known Bill and Jen for a long time. But the thing is, I think that's how we've come together in our relationship, to be partners with Bill Curry is our community outreach, right? They support our foundation. We support their stuff. We do a lot of stuff for them. They do a lot of stuff for us. And that's what we're all about, is about being in the community, setting examples in the community, and doing everything. And at the same time, promoting businesses and doing a lot of the other stuff too. But I think that's where it first came about, is our outreach in the community.
Nice. And, the community, of course, despite the pandemic and things are reopening and all that, everybody's totally abuzz about the Buccaneers and Tom Brady. And I don't think it's just Tom Brady. I think it's just the chance to win again. It's been so long. And, just as an ex-player who is constantly meeting people and talking to people, and of course, people every year, every week are coming up to you and talking about the Bucs. But what's different now? What's been different in the last couple of months?
Well, obviously you have arguably the greatest quarterback ever, to play the game, that's still playing at a high level. And he's committed the last 2 years, most likely, unless he plays until he's 50 years old, right? And, to the Buccaneers,
sure.
Right? So he's committed. He sees the opportunity. He sees, Tom Brady didn't come here just to stay in Florida and finish his career in sunny Florida. He come here to win a championship. I mean, that's his demeanor. He's playing football. He's a winner, right? And so, again, that's what the exciting about. You have a legend that's coming here to finish his career. You have Gretkowski, you have Rob that's coming here to, finish his, continue his, I don't know. But again, to play two more years, with his buddy. And so they see the nucleus that Bruce Arians has, created and what he has developed over the last year and stuff like that. So it's exciting. There's a lot of great buzz. I mean, hopefully we get this football thing underway and the fans can come in the seats and watch the Buccaneers.
Yeah, it's really a couple of weeks at a time on that front. But as a running back who has had new quarterbacks come in and new coordinators, you've been through that whole process. You see the Buccaneers now and their stable of running backs. And one thing that's kind of really stands out is Ronald Jones, Dario Gunbowale, the rookies, obviously, none of them have ever caught an NFL touchdown pass. And so they're really sort of inexperienced in the passing game, and now they've got a new quarterback coming in. What is it like to build that chemistry with a quarterback, and especially for a young player, without these spring practices that are really so valuable for all that chemistry?
I think in general, you have a professional. You have Tom Brady is serious about what he does, right? He does it nonstop. He takes care of his body. He wants to be the best, and he's going to bring his best there. And he's going to coach these young kids up. He's basically a coach on the field. He's going to coach them up. He's going to get on them. He's going to praise them. He's going to do everything he can possibly do. And at the same time, even with Evans and everything, they're out there working right now.
Sure.
I mean, they're doing their thing, right? They're not waiting for anything to open up. They're getting their work in, and it's all orchestrated by Tom Brady, right? He's been doing it for years with the New England Patriots. We've seen it over and over again, and the young guys are with him too right now, and they're probably studying somewhere right now, going over playbooks, doing whatever, and there's no time being missed right now. And then when they come back, they're going to be running, right? They're going to be running. Don't get me wrong. You know, they're going to have the pads on, getting in shape and doing everything into a huddle standpoint. But when it comes to X and O's and stuff like that, timing and having a feel for each other, I think they'll be pretty much, you know, set in stone time they come back. But again, you know, it has to get more of a team aspect. And Tom's understood that, right? Tom and Gronk and the older guys, even some of, you know, Mike Evans, he's been around long enough, right? Sure. That they're gonna be professionals about it. And again, all those Buccaneers – again, it said that Jameis is not here, but again, things that's the NFL, right? It moves on, people come and go, and now you have the greatest quarterback ever to be coming to the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. The community's excited. You know what? The players are excited. They got a true leader on the field.
Not to discredit anything that the coaches do, nothing like that at all, but do you think there's some inherent advantage to having Brady just working with the players maybe for 4 or 5 weeks, strictly on his own, strictly them on their own, sort of learning together in a way they never would at One Buck Place? Do you think there's maybe some advantage to that?
Yeah, I mean, there's a lot of time, right? There's a lot of time. That's all you do is have time if you're a professional, you know, player right now, especially going into season. That's all you have is time, right? You don't have to worry about going to the facility, doing all that stuff, worrying about, you know, special teams and in the kicking game. You know, other people have to worry about that. But when you have Tom in his wide receiver core, right, that's what all he has to worry about. And that's 24/7. I'm not saying 24/7, but I mean a good amount of time is spent with him. You know, maybe I'm sure that they're filming it. Right? I'm sure they're filming routes and going over different things. You know what I mean? They're going to have people out there.
I hadn't thought of that. Okay.
Right. I mean, I don't know. Why wouldn't you? You know what I mean?
That makes sense. Sure.
You know, hire someone to go out there and freaking, you know, with a camera and film what's going on. And then, you know, go to lunch and pop it in and have lunch with the players and say, hey, this is what I need you to do. I need you to break more here than here, you know, and all that stuff. And that's what he's always doing.
Hey, Brady's got a Hollywood production company. He's going to be doing his own thing. Yeah. I don't know if you heard about that, but his company is going to mimic what they did with Michael Jordan, The Last Dance, this year. But that makes perfect sense. I mean, why wouldn't you film it? Especially, you know, put a little tripod up with somebody's iPhone and go over it.
Exactly, right.
You know, I'm sure we'll hear some stories about that.
Yeah, it'll come out.
You know, a lot of fans, and you hear it, probably the word thrown around too much around the NFL about culture and, you know, what it takes to build a winning culture. And, you know, of course, the Bucs are sort of trying to do that on the fly, really. Arians got in here with his staff and set the foundation, but things have changed, new quarterback. Do you think the culture aspect sometimes gets a little bit overblown, or you think it maybe is underappreciated when it comes to building a winner?
I think it's underappreciated because we lived it, you know, from my first year, 96, until we won the Super Bowl and even after, right? So again, trial and error, right? Failure, and stuff like that. And building off of all the adversity and failures you have to be able to win the big dance. But we created that culture. We created that Buckball, right? When other free agents came in for their big payday or whatever, sometimes they didn't fit in, right? And they didn't fit in that locker room. And so again, 2 years later, they're gone, right? So we had that nucleus. We had that core of guys, you know, starting with Brooks and Sapp and Lynch and all those guys on defense and myself and Wark and some of the other guys. And then you have Keyshawn coming in, and then you have JJ, and you have those guys coming in. We loved each other, right? It was great. We were with each other all the time. We had a bond, you know. We didn't want to leave the locker room. Our locker room was tight, you know what I mean? And we controlled our locker room. And I'm sure Tom has had those locker room experiences. He understands all about that, right? There's no, hey, you're not going to go out there and complain and bitch the media. You know what I mean?
Sure.
Did I just say that? I'm sorry.
That's okay. That's okay.
But again, you're not going to complain and rant and rave and everything like that. Hey, it's right here in these doors, in this room right here. And so that's how it was when we, you know, finally got over that hump and did all those things. We had a great nucleus. We had Hall of Fame players. We had all these guys, right? And again, but you have to come together, that chemistry, that bond, you know, that love for each other, that unselfishness, right? That's probably the biggest thing, not being selfish, right? Right? Not being wanting it all for yourself. You know, I was excited when Michael Pittman scored. Michael Pittman was all excited when I scored.
Sure.
You know, I was all freaking jumping all over JJ and Keyshawn when they scored, you know, along with McCardle and all of our guys, right? And we're just, you know, congratulating each other.
Not the team.
Yeah. Team unity, right? Team unity. Hey, we won. We got a roll. Hey, we're all here for one thing. And that to be, you know, on that stage at the end of the year.
So, of course, as if it needs any introduction, we're talking now with Mike Allstott here at the Bill Curry Ford Showroom. BillCurryFord.com is the website. Everybody shops online now, Mike. So that's the place to go, BillCurryFord.com. You can get online help there. General Manager Sean Sullivan, as we always say on the podcast, he will talk Bucks with you all day long. He wants us to tell people that, Mike, believe it or not. And they do. People do come and talk Bucks with him, and we've had him on as a draft guru. But bottom line is Sean and Jen are so committed to treating people with respect and like family in whatever they need done.
I mean, they bought Bill Curry. They built a restaurant in the middle of their lobby.
They didn't have to do that.
No, right. So when customers come in, or hey, you just want to stop here and get Big Storm, you can walk right in, get Big Storm, and walk right out. You know what I mean? They have a mini restaurant inside their lobby. What a great, customer, some experience that they're creating around here, and just their love for people and their, the family atmosphere. It's unbelievable.
Yeah, and it's very unique in the car business, and it really speaks. I'm glad you mentioned the Big Storm Cafe, which opened about 10 days ago, where sure, they're not going to be having people rushing in here just for lunch, but for all the customers, and it's a great gift for the employees, right, and just for people who, your wife wants to test drive and you want to hang out and have a sandwich and watch some sports on TV. It really speaks to their another level of caring for the customers and the whole experience, which you find top to bottom at Bill Curry Ford. But I wanted to mention that, of course, Bill Curry Ford sponsors Ira's podcast and all of Ira's work. But we're going to be checking in with you regularly, not on a set schedule, just when we decide it's time to hear from the A-Train, and maybe we'll do it down here at Bill Curry Ford. We can do it by phone.
No, we'll come in here. But, as things progress in football and we get going, I love to talk shop and, talk about all the deals that Bill Curry Ford has and whatnot, sit here and talk. It'd be fun.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. And it'll be a mix of, maybe you have something you want to get off your chest about what you're seeing on the field and about maybe something going on, a community effort at Bill Curry Ford. And, we'll call on you once in a while and say, Mike, give us some perspective. What are we missing?
Yeah.
So it'll be fun. And we appreciate you doing this. And I know Bill Curry Ford has worked with you for so many years on so many things, and we appreciate them making it happen. Before we head off on the football realm, Mike, got to ask you, because don't want to neglect the other side of the ball. When you watched the Bucs defense last year, toward the end of the year, second half of the year, after they worked out some bugs, obviously they struggled early. Second half of the year, what stood out to you? If somebody comes up to Mike Allstott and says, hey, Mike, what'd you like about the Bucs defense late in the season? What do you say?
Understanding of it. I mean, obviously you have a rookie middle linebacker, right, that is starting to learn, read the game, get the guys in position. You have, assortment of defensive backs and stuff like that. And then, even Sue was new, right, and all the others. So you are still piecing, right, all your guys together. I mean, majority of our team, when we won the Super Bowl, our defense was set in stone. We are, if you take the middle, all the way down the middle from Sapp, in the three linebackers, right, Corals, Brooks, and
sure,
down the middle, and then you have, Lynch with Rondé, stuff like that. It was set in stone for a long time, right? They understood it. They communicated well. They did everything. And as you saw the defense get better and better each and every week, last season, it was just familiarity, playing with each other, understanding their system. I mean, it's Arian's first year, right? So, again, doing all that stuff. So, again, all of our guys, we're hearing it for years and years and years under Monty Kiffin, right? They're doing the same defense over and over, putting the pieces together.
That was an incredible run, sure.
Right, but again, it didn't start out the first year, right? I mean, they were darn good, right? But again, as we progressed and we peaked, and everybody got on the same page and the communication was all, and then sometimes the communication doesn't have to be there, right? You know that your brother's going to be to the right, and you know, sure, your brother's going to be to the left, right? I do this, I think that's the one thing is, all right, don't do too much, do your role, right? And that's, when we had the great Bucks teams, everybody did their role and they knew everybody had each other's back. And I think that's a lot of the mindset and the chemistry and being on the field with each other and understanding each other, what each other thinks, and spend a lot of time in a film room talking about this scenario and talking about that scenario. Sure. So again, it's a matter of time. I mean, they have the talent. There's no question about it.
And it goes really to the what you said before, is that some of that culture and that unity and that team building goes underappreciated. And, you know, of course, we get to see it play out. So that's what makes makes it fun. And now you're a fan. So you get to enjoy it with the rest of us.
Yeah,
I
get to
see it
from afar. Yeah, and try to understand it sometimes. You know, sometimes we get, you know, ex-players, we get a little bit critical. But at the same time, is we don't know all the nuances behind the scenes and stuff like that. And then we have to bring back ourselves a little bit. But again, you know, I'm a big fan of Coach Arian and his coaching staff and what they're doing. And all the other guys that they brought in and how everything's going on. It's going to be exciting for, and I'm excited for the community. You know what I mean? Cause they have supported, you know, us for so many years and I played for 12 years, you know, they were right there behind us each and every year. And you know, I'm glad that, to see that they're making an effort to, you know, don't get me wrong. They've always made an effort. The Blazers and the Buccaneers have always put an effort to put a great product in the field. But sometimes, you know what? You put it towards something, it just doesn't stick to the wall sometimes. So you have to redo it. You know what? And again, it's going to be fun. It's going to be really fun.
They throw around the phrase all in, but it really feels that way this year. And the talent's there. And now we get to just sit back and enjoy it and try to appreciate it. And yeah, it won't last forever with Tom Brady, but we're going to enjoy every minute of it.
Yeah, of course. Yeah, no, it's going to be good.
All right, well, Mike, you're totally at home here in the Bill Curry Ford showroom. I see people looking to talk to you as always. So fans who come out to Bill Curry Ford to shop, there's always a chance they'll see you here. You're no stranger at Bill Curry Ford, and we'll see you again here in the showroom, maybe at the Big Storm Cafe, having another sandwich. You put that down pretty quick, Mike. It's mid-season form there on the sandwich. Thanks again, Mike, and we'll talk to you soon.
No, thank you. I appreciate you having me.
All right, Ira, it is good to be back. I know you probably had a couple of Big Storm beers during that 20-minute session with Allstott, and I'm not letting you get away with the fact that early in this podcast, we heard Cosmo barking in the background. You got to keep that dog in line, Ira.
You're right, Steve. He doesn't like when I leave his confines. He's attached to me. It's almost his bedtime, so I can't wait to get him down.
Does he tuck at your trousers when you start walking out the door in the morning?
He's biting everything that moves, the Kemper. Everything that moves.
All right, Ira. Now, straight up, Mike Allstott said that players, the offense, might be better off not having OTAs or spring practices because they won't be distracted by special teams and they'll have even more time together and they can videotape their sessions, go have lunch, and talk about it and dive into it in a way that you wouldn't with coaches. He basically was saying that, that there might be just better off with Tom Brady as the coach of the offense.
That was pretty interesting, Steve. You know, it goes to, I think the theme that ran through your chat with Allstott, which I salute, very informative, very entertaining, and much appreciated, Mike, for taking the time to do it with us. The overriding theme, and it goes to what you just said, is bonding. Now, I can just hear the Kempfers insides churning on this one. Chemistry. He must have mentioned the word chemistry about 9 times. Bonding. You know,
spirituality. Oh,
No, not spirituality. No. Come on, Lee. But look, he's not a simple man, Allstott, but he had a simple message. And that is, he talked about how that special Bucks team that everybody remembers, even though it was 18 damn years ago, was special in a lot of ways, and how the talent had been there for years, and Simeon had been there, and Brad Johnson had been there before 2002, but they hadn't won diddly, two terrible losses in the NFC playoffs at Veterans Stadium. They didn't even show up. They had talent. And for whatever reason, you know, there's a Gruden factor and some of the guys that he brought in and the Juroviciouses of the world, but it all gelled and they love each other. So, Steve, in that regard, you know, with the OTAs versus these practices, player only, I think Allstott's got his focus on bonding and he thinks it's more conducive towards building chemistry than being on the field with 8 different coaches yelling in your ear. And you know what? I agree with him. I think he's right.
All right, Ira. Well, I hope everyone enjoyed that. And maybe next podcast we can touch on some other things in there from Allstott if you thought there was something worth diving into. Chemistry, bonding, love, it only goes so far. But I get it. If you want to be a Super Bowl team, though, usually, and of course, everyone's bar has been raised, usually those elements are there to a degree. So hopefully the Bucs are making strides in that direction, because we want a Super Bowl. We don't want to play games anymore without one, because it's, we're sick and tired of it. And now there's no preseason football, so we better win a freaking Super Bowl. All right, Ira, last call here, Sage, from me. Lee wrote about Bruce Arians talking on Chris Long's podcast about quarantining a quarterback. And, you know, coronavirus is there. It's possible. It could get out there. These guys are going to be spitting and grunting on each other and all this other stuff. Maybe Bruce Arians takes Ryan Griffin and says, you know, just stay in your apartment and don't go anywhere until we need you. What do you think?
Well, I think it's a noble thought, but it takes me to something that Lee said a couple of podcasts ago that I think is going to prove correct. And I think Lee suggested, you know, these protocols, four pages long, very detailed, 6 feet apart with the lockers, this, that, don't touch the doorknobs. And I agree with the Kemper. It's going to last a day and a half. Look, these guys are 28 years old. They're 23. They're 31. They're not thinking about this as a deadly disease. Yeah. It's almost like the people on the beaches. It's not going to happen to me. And statistically speaking, maybe they have a point, although they're not immune to it. And this goes for everything. I'm not trying to pick on the Bucks. I don't think you can keep up these draconian measures, and I don't think teams will. I don't think Brady's going to think about COVID-19 at all once he gets the okay to be back in that facility.
Ira, this is a good one. You'll love this. You know, I've been pimping this Inside Sopranos podcast with, I always forget their real names, but it was Christopher Maltisalvi, and I butchered that name, and Bobby Bacala. That I didn't butcher. And it's just fantastic podcast. If you love the Sopranos, you're cheating yourself not listening. That's all I got to say. And they go through episode by episode. Well, anyway, you know who David Chase is, Ira, the guy who wrote Sopranos. He wrote a special dialogue, a scene for this podcast. Now, obviously, you can't bring Tony Soprano back to life. James Gandolfini, he's dead. But he literally wrote a specific scene, a dialogue for this podcast. And the scene was, how are the Sopranos handling the pandemic? And it reminded me of what quote unquote David Chase said with Tony Soprano. Tony Soprano was talking, in my dad's day, they had this tuberculosis. They had the polio. They dealt with it.
And Lee, Tony's gang, they're not 28 years old for the most part. They're not.
I was looking, they dealt with it.
All right, Ira, you need to get your game in order, because we've got a couple more podcasts coming next week. We do not let up on the Ira Kaufman podcast. Our thanks to Bill Curry Ford, as always, your presenting sponsor, BillCurryFord.com. Drink Big Storm beer responsibly. The Bromosa, the Wavemaker Amber Ale, Tropic Pressure Florida Ale. There are so many great core beers and now many summer specialty beers. Go to BigStormBrewery.com and, of course, Florida's Elite Restoration.com, where you can learn about them, and that's who to call. If you see any kind of water, any kind of problem, that's where you go. Ira, send us out of here in a very sage-like way to close your award-winning podcast.
All right. Lee, I can't be a hypocrite. I got to bookend it with the start. Perhaps the greatest American play of all time, Death of a Salesman. Death of a Salesman. A lot of great actors played the role. Today, Lee, I'm thinking about Death of a Handyman.